Hey, welcome back to Women's Wellness Radio. Happy to have you back and happy to have our guest today, Dr. Jen Landa. Dr. Landa is an OBGYN and a respected authority on the subject of women's health, hormones, and functional and regenerative medicine. She's a frequent contributor to the media with appearances on the Dr. Oz show and a regular medical column on Fox News. She's the chief medical officer of Body Logic MD, the nation's largest franchise of physicians specializing in bioidentical hormone therapy. She's also the author of The Sex Drive Solution for Women, which has helped thousands of women put their passion back into their relationships. And she's the creator of the 3 Weeks to Endless Energy program. Dr. Jen trains doctors and medical practitioners in the U.S. and internationally in cutting-edge treatments that are helping patients throughout the world reclaim their energy and sex drive. Dr. Jen received her undergraduate degree from Albany Medical College of Union University and her OBGYN training at Beth Israel Medical Center in New York City. She lives in Orlando, Florida with her husband and 2 children. So welcome, Dr. Jen.
Welcome, Dr. Jen. Thanks so much for having me, Bridget. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. And I'd like to ask you first, you help women with kind of the typical complaints that many women have with their health. Can you tell me more, like, the typical thing patient you treat and what she's telling you she's experiencing in the day?
Sure. You know, I'll tell you, and originally, well, it's a long story, but basically for me personally, I lost my sex drive when I was only 28 years old, and that was the first thing that I saw go, and it really bothered me because it was a really important part of my relationship, and so I started to really focus throughout my career on what are the things that help bring back women's sex drive. And then what I found out when I started treating more and more and more women is I found out sex drive, you know, might be important, or it might be something you might notice, but I realized that it's sort of more like a pyramid, that with sex drive being on the top, the foundation is, you know, survival. And the next rung up is, I find, weight loss, mood, and energy. And if a woman doesn't have her weight under control, she doesn't have her moods under control, she doesn't have any energy, sex drive is the last thing that she's even going to care about. So those are what I find. That's sort of my long way around answer of telling you the main things that I'm hearing women complain about is, I just feel like I'm getting through the day. I'm dragging myself. I'm pushing myself. I'm exhausted. I'm so tired that I'm not even motivated to, you know, to shop for the right thing or to go exercising and to do the things that I know I need to do to get my weight under control. Or even some women tell me, I feel even worse for these women, I'm doing everything, I think I'm doing everything right, everything that I've heard about. But unfortunately, a lot of us, we're getting bad information about how to lose weight and how to be in shape. So that's an important thing I'm hearing. And then the mood thing, you know, I'm a mom of a 13 and 15 year old. And the last thing that I want to be is a mean mommy. And I've had women come into my office and saying, you know what, I don't want to be a B bleep, you know, to my kids or to my husband or, you know, even to my coworkers. Some women say to me, it's gotten so out of hand, I'm not even nice at the office. And those are the big things that I'm hearing: weight loss, mood, energy, and sex drive as well.
Yeah, I think often we think, oh, you know, I'm just a mean person, or, you know, some self-judgment. And so I'm excited today we're going to get to some of the roots of this, which is not that you're a mean, horrible person. It's just that your hormones are out of whack. So there is hope. I'd love for you to share a little bit more about your story. You know, you said that you noticed your sex drive going away at only 28. So what was your own personal recovery plan, so to speak, to get your energy back?
Well, so, you know, like I said, it tends to be more than one thing when it's your sex drive. So for me, you know, I first started noticing my sex drive as the first thing to go. But then over the years, I started noticing that I had no energy, and especially after I was like in my early 30s, I had my first baby and then my second one, and I was just exhausted. I couldn't recover during, even between, like when they started sleeping and everything again, I just didn't feel like doing anything. I was exhausted. And then it got to the point where I even started to be unable to handle stress. I couldn't handle, like, I used to love, like, good stress, what people would call good stress, I guess. You know, I loved running into the operating room and doing surgery and doing an emergency C-section and saving the day with a baby. And I used to love that stuff. But then I was finding myself more and more unable to handle all of that, to the point where it got so overwhelming that I just, one day I remember being called into the hospital, doing an emergency C-section, and afterwards just putting my head down on the desk and bawling, because my life, I felt like, was a mess. I felt like I was a bad wife because I wasn't having sex with my husband. And I felt guilty all the time because I truly didn't want to spend time with my kids because I was so exhausted. And then I felt like I wasn't even doing a good job at my job because I felt like I was losing my ability to handle the stress of my job. And that was when I was really just like, what could possibly be going on with me? And I think the worst part of all was I felt like a fraud as a doctor, because I felt like here I am supposed to be the one who has the answers and I have no idea what's going on with me. So of course I checked the usual stuff like thyroid and blood count, you know, to make sure I wasn't anemic or had low iron or anything like that. And it was none of those things, the typical things. And it was kind of like, I hear so many women tell me today, I got checked by my doctor and my doctor said everything was normal. And so women tell me, so I'm here because you're my last hope. I don't know what else I'm going to do if there's not something that you can find. And that was the problem. We're not, our traditional medical training doesn't really prepare us to deal with these changes that are really far too typical in women every day. And the traditional treatments that we have to help women don't help. Like the number one treatment that somebody in my position might have been given was birth control pills. Well, birth control pills were actually, that's actually the problem that started everything to begin with for me, you know, because a lot of people are like, okay, so what was the answer, Dr. Jen? So part of it was birth control pills, because birth control pills totally mess up your hormones. They block your free testosterone, which is a big part of the reason my libido went out the window. But, you know, what I came to figure out over the years was that there was a lot more to the picture, to the puzzle. There was, you know, anything from my diet to my lack of an exercise regimen, to my lack of sleeping properly. And you can just go on and on and on with the things that, you know, I wasn't doing right that really were causing the problems that I was seeing. But, you know, and then I slowly but surely healed my own energy crisis. I got my energy back. I got my stress tolerance back. I got my sex drive back. I figured out kind of all of that piece by piece by piece over time. And then I, of course, was able to do it with patients as well. You know, and it wasn't really until I started looking at additional things that you know all about, functional medicine and hormone medicine and nutrition and how all of those fit together, that's when I really started to unlock the puzzle as to what was going on with me and what was going on with so many of my patients. And that's when I started treating, you know, so many of my patients in the same way, and they started getting amazing results and word just spread. And eventually I got asked to come on Dr. Oz to talk about my fatigue solutions, talk about turning around a weakness into a strength. It was an amazing thing. And I came to be known as the Energizer Bunny now. That's what, you know me, and a lot of people call me that, or even at my gym, they call me, like, if you can believe this, powerhouse, all 5'1" of me. But, you know, it was, so there's all kinds of things that I do. And that was, you know, and I do these things with my patients, but that was the reason that I put together, you mentioned the Endless Energy Program. The reason I created that was because, you know, there's all these things that I do personally and that I've put in place for my patients, but I wanted to really be able to reach more people. It's my goal to help tons of women with this information, because if you do the things that you, just some simple changes, if you just become aware, number one, of things that are stealing your energy that you don't even realize that you're doing every day, and then number two, just take some simple steps to change it, it's amazing what can happen to your energy.
Awesome. And yeah, I want to ask you more, but I want to point out a few of the things you said that struck me. First of all, I just appreciate you being so candid. And, you know, like you said, you felt like a fraud. And I think a lot of people do. A lot of women do. You know, they're taking the family photo and they're – you know, try to keep it together. But many of us are working full time and having kids and, you know, trying to keep a good face. And then, you know, inside or at home, you know, we're kind of falling apart. We don't feel like ourselves anymore. So I just appreciate you being honest, because that just, you know, opens up possibilities for everyone else. I also appreciate you said there's many factors. You know, you mentioned it wasn't just being on birth control. There was just so many factors. And again, I think it's, you know, a lot of us, I treat a lot of really smart women. I'm sure you do too. And they're trying their best, but there are so many things going on and in our lives and our environments, there's so many stressors that it's multifactorial. And then I love that you said, you know, slowly but surely you recovered, because that's often how it works. You know, there's no quick fix to restore our hormone levels. Well, for the, you know, for the really to restore the root. So I like that you were honest about that too. That, you know, it's a process, and it's a learning process of learning about your body and making changes in your habits. And now here you are, Energizer Bunny, at the end of it all.
Yeah.
That's really great. So
it is true. Women are facing so much these days, like you said, and, you know, and we're getting sometimes the wrong information. So I love that you're doing this for women so that they can get the right information so that they can feel like themselves again.
Yeah, totally. And I want to get to some of your simple solutions and some things you offer. Tell us more about how our hormones work and how they affect things like our mood and our energy and our weight.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. You know, hormones really are a passion of mine, but they've almost become a dirty word in the last 10, 12 years or so, ever since there was a study that showed that hormone replacement therapy may cause an increased risk of heart disease and breast cancer. And most women are stuck out there still feeling like that's the case. Now, I'm not saying that hormones are the answer and the panacea and the answer to everything under the sun, but the bottom line is there's a certain amount that our hormones decrease as we age, and then there's a certain amount that our hormones are affected by all kinds of other things that we just talked about. But the bottom line is hormones are not a dirty word. You need hormones. Hormones are the chemical messengers in your body that send messages from one place to another. So, for instance, from your brain to your thyroid, and then from your thyroid to your brain. If you didn't have hormones, your body would not know what to do. So, for example, the one that everybody's so afraid of, estrogen. Estrogen has 400 functions in your body. And when I see women who are nearing menopause, sometimes I will see that they have literally absolutely zero estrogen in their body. And how do you think those 400 functions are functioning when you have zero? But, you know, that's nearing menopause. But even for much younger women, hormones, now a lot of times younger women don't think that hormones really play a role unless maybe they have bad PMS or something. They might know a little bit more that something might be going on with their hormones. And then, of course, most OBGYNs tell them, no, that's not true, but it so is true. So the hormones that affect women mostly, I would say, the ones that I'm mostly concerned myself with, I have kind of arranged into an easy to remember acronym. I like acronyms because I learned a lot about them in medical school, because that was literally how we got through all of that information that we had to get through to become an MD. You've got to memorize a whole bunch of stuff, and acronyms are a great way to do it. So protect your hormones. Protect, standing for progesterone, oxytocin, thyroid, estrogen, cortisol, and testosterone. Those are the hormones that I find women need really to have in balance to feel great, you know, to have their weight under control, their moods under control, everything that we've been talking about. And to highlight a couple, for instance, you know, how do they play a role in how we feel? Progesterone is what I would call the unsung hero of women's hormones. Progesterone is our calming hormone. It helps us get to sleep at night. It helps us feel less overwhelmed. It helps us feel, it helps our memory. It helps us feel more patient. So when I see women tell me that they're starting to become less patient, have trouble sleeping, more PMS. The other thing progesterone is involved in is helps you get rid of water weight, helps with bloating, and it helps with even breast tenderness that can be associated with your periods and stuff. So progesterone has a huge number of roles, right, for which women go to the doctor and they complain that they can't get to sleep, they feel a little depressed, and what do they get? They get a sleep medication and they get a depression medication, right? They get like a Zoloft and an Ambien. And that's crazy because the thing that is going on with them is not that they have a Zoloft deficiency, it's that they have a progesterone deficiency. And when I see women with a progesterone deficiency, that also doesn't necessarily mean that they have to slap on some progesterone. There are lots of things going on in our environment that's causing not only our progesterone levels to be lowered, but also a really newly talked about phenomenon of progesterone resistance. And we're starting to see this hormone resistance with all kinds of hormones. You know, we've talked about insulin resistance for many years, and you may know if you're listening to this that that can increase your risk of diabetes. But what you might not know is that inflammation, the same thing that we've been talking about for several years now that causes heart disease, causes Alzheimer's disease, et cetera, the inflammation can also cause progesterone resistance. And that can cause not your progesterone to go down, but for you to have less of a progesterone effect. And that can cause a feeling of hormone imbalance. So there's all kinds of things at work here, and that's just one hormone. But the fact is that I want people to understand is I've seen women anywhere from their 20s on have low levels of progesterone. And the same goes for testosterone. Believe it or not, even with natural aging, testosterone takes its biggest dip from the ages of 18 to 34. So if you had a really high testosterone level when you were 18, by the time you reach your 30s, your testosterone level may still fall in what doctors would call the normal range, but it may be a lot lower than what you had 15, 20 years prior. And of course, that continues to go down as we age. So for those of us like me in our mid-40s, that can definitely be an issue. And then certainly as we get into our 50s and 60s as well. So that's just some examples of the hormones that I look at.
Okay, awesome. And yeah, we'll share that acronym in the show notes. I want to ask you a little bit more about the receptor site resistance and inflammation. I think this is really interesting. And so one cause potentially of inflammation could also be low hormone levels or excess hormone levels, right? Like high cortisol or perhaps like low progesterone or estrogen. So can it be kind of a cycle of hormones being off and then resistance develops as well?
It's an interesting question. I'm not sure of the data that directly shows that low hormone levels cause inflammation, other than low hormone levels cause situations where, let's say, you might put on weight. And if you put on weight, you're increasing inflammation because inflammation, the chemicals that are really that, you know, people say, okay, so what does inflammation mean? So we should probably back up and say inflammation is really something that's characterized by the release of certain chemicals in the body. And one of the fascinating things about fat, for example, fat cells, is that they release these inflammatory chemicals that we're talking about. We used to think that fat cells were just fat and they just stored the fat globules and did nothing else. But now we know that when we gain weight and when we gain fat, that we're going to have higher levels of inflammation that are going to affect our risk of every disease in the body. So I'm not sure if there's really a cycle there, but there's certainly, there's a lot of cyclical things to it, because when you've got some inflammation, then you have a lower, you have more progesterone resistance. You also, if you have more inflammation, you have more conversion of your testosterone to estrogen. The reaction that's called the aromatase reaction, not that important to remember all of these details, but the bottom line is inflammation can cause your testosterone to convert to estrogen. And while estrogen is a really good hormone, a lot of women prior to menopause already have way too much estrogen. So this inflammatory state that women might be in is just making things so much worse in terms of their hormones.
Okay. Yeah, that's helpful. Yeah, it's so complex, and one thing can feed the other. You know, you have, can have low thyroid performance, and then you're gaining weight, and then there's inflammation. I think I was thinking of it because I have some chronic back pain, and it's usually kind of low level, but I spent a week or two with it just screaming, and I had to get a bunch of treatment, and then my period came, and I thought, isn't that interesting? It was the last 2 weeks of my cycle. I feel like maybe something was going on there that, you know, I was more sensitive.
It is. You know what? Bridget, that's exactly what this new research is showing, that we've known for a while, but I don't think anybody really talks about it or thinks about it, that menstruation, you know, having your period is actually an inflammatory process, right? The prostaglandins, the chemicals in your body, some of them that we consider associated with inflammation, go up when you have your period and before the period. And that's one of the reasons that people get those like aches and pains and stuff like that. Some women even, you know, have bowel disturbance and all kinds of things. And a lot of those symptoms are from inflammation. And of course, yeah, back pain is going to be worse when you have inflammation. So anything we can do to decrease inflammation is going to improve these symptoms. But amazingly enough, it's all not only going to improve those symptoms, it's going to improve your hormone balance. And that's what I think is the really new piece that we didn't know before.
Okay. Yeah, getting rid of inflammation is so important. And we're going to talk more about some patterns you see and some offerings you have. Maybe we can get into a bit of that now. So you said there are steps that you suggest to protect our hormones, remembering our acronym there. And you were saying for you, making some simple changes and awareness helps you get your energy back. Do you want to go into some action steps that people can take away?
Sure. Well, I think the most important thing to understand is I talk about five energy robbers that are stealing your spark. And these are, now a lot of people realize that, or they think, and they're right, that the reason they're tired is just because they're stressed out, and that nothing's really going to change with their stress because they've still got, you know, they've still got kids they've got to drive around from here to there. They've still got parents that are, you know, ill or in a nursing home or whatever, you know, whatever the stress of the day may be, and that there's really no way that all that's going to change. But what I want women to understand is that there are silent stressors that you don't even realize. And these are mostly physical stressors that I'm talking about. Things that are stressors that are attacking you physically, not emotionally, but physically. Because of course, yes, emotional stress would be great to deal with meditation and relaxation. And all of those things are wonderful, and I totally encourage them. But quite honestly, those are the things that I find that I struggle the most with, making the time to, you know, just sit and meditate and things like that. So the thing that I want to make sure of more than anything is that I don't have any hidden physical stressors that are attacking me. And when I tell you about these hidden physical stressors, that'll sort of lead us to some of the tips that I use to help people kind of change how they're doing. So it's another acronym, because I told you I love acronyms. So why you're crashing? CRASH is an acronym. CRASH is an acronym that stands for C for cortisol highs and lows, R for reactions, which are food reactions, A for adrenal toxins, S for the sugar roller coaster, and H, we're talking about hormones. So we've been really talking about the H for a while, but one of the hormones we didn't talk about, which was one of them in Protect, is cortisol, because cortisol is so important to helping you deal with stress. You mentioned cortisol briefly before, and when you have stress, whether it's emotional stress or physical stress, your body is going to try to release cortisol to help you deal with the stress, because cortisol is your fight or flight hormone. The problem is, so it's meant to be there. It's a good hormone in some ways, and I'm sure you've probably heard about it, and you've probably heard, oh, well, that cortisol stuff is what's causing me to gain weight. And it might be, yes, it very well might be. But what a lot of people don't realize is that not only is too much cortisol not good for you, but too little cortisol is not good either. And this is how I kind of classify the three energy states, or really four energy states. If you're totally, if your energy is amazing and you're doing really well, you're burning steady. If you make too much cortisol because you're under chronic stress, but your adrenals are keeping up with that stress and your body is allowing you to make enough cortisol to keep up with the stress, then you're what I would call burning up. But then as your body starts to say, well, we've been under stress too much too long, and so we've got to cut down some of this cortisol production, then you can get into states that I call burning low or even burning out. And your energy, that's when your energy really starts to suffer. Your ability to handle stress starts to suffer. And that's what I was telling you about myself. I was really burning out that time when I was sitting at the nurse's station crying, feeling like my life was falling apart. It was because I was burning out. And I meet women every day who are in these various stages, from burning up to burning low to burning out. And the symptoms are different for each one of them. And the solutions kind of vary a little bit depending on who you are and where you are on that spectrum. And I think you're going to give out some links later to a quiz that I have that can help people figure out where they're at in there. So I explained these five reasons that you might be crashing. So cortisol highs and lows was one of them that we just talked about. Food reactions are a big one. So I'm talking about food sensitivities, which I'm sure you've probably talked about on your podcast before. The foods that people are eating that they're sensitive to that they don't even realize they're sensitive to. And number one and number two, I would say, are gluten and dairy. And the problem is those cause inflammation in the gut, and that inflammation has to be dealt with somehow. And cortisol is an anti-inflammatory hormone. So your body is going to see this inflammation in the gut as a stress, basically, and it's going to make cortisol to try to keep up with it. So the problem is, though, if you're burning up, then you're making too much cortisol already. And if you're burning low and burning out, you're not making enough just to keep up with your daily needs. So if you're eating foods that your body is sensitive to without even knowing it, and that's what most people who are sensitive to these foods, they don't even know it because they cause reactions all throughout the body. Like, most people think if they were sensitive to a food, it's like, I eat strawberries and my lips blow up, or I eat peanuts and I can't breathe. But in this case, it's something that can happen 3 days later. And one of the biggest things that I see is that your energy might go. But it can be other things. It could be weight gain. It could be acne. It could be stuffy nose, headaches, joint pain. It can be all kinds of things. So these food reactions may be sucking your energy. And then additionally, adrenal toxins, which are caffeine, sugar, and alcohol. And then specifically the S for sugar is a sugar roller coaster. So it's trying to keep your blood sugar more stable throughout the day, because low blood sugar is something that your body interprets as an emergency. And it's going to want to hit that fight or flight hormone again. So it's going to affect whether you're burning up, burning low, or burning out. And then finally, the H for hormones. So one of the things we find is that cortisol, I sort of jokingly say cortisol is greedy. The bottom line is, if your body isn't able to make the amount of cortisol you need, either it makes way too much cortisol or it can't make enough cortisol, cortisol is your emergency hormone, like I've said a few times. Your body will concern itself with making cortisol before it makes anything else, like the yummy progesterone and testosterone that I was telling you about before. So one of the ways that women get deficient in progesterone and testosterone very frequently is because they're too busy dealing with stress. And like I said, it would be great to get rid of all your emotional stress, but you've also got to make sure that you don't have these physical stressors affecting you every day. And that's really some of the ways that I help women get into a place where they can get their hormones better balanced, get their energy back, their weight under control. And it's really through my 3 weeks to endless energy program that I walk them through five main steps that help them to get that all back under control.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that's a good background. And can you tell us more about the five steps?
Absolutely. So they all, because I like memory tricks, they all start with D to make it easy to remember. So it's drink, dine, ditch, diminish, and drop. So when I say drink, I'm talking about drinking a protein shake. and taking supplements. So you might be saying to yourself, oh, I've tried protein shakes before. I don't like protein shakes, or they don't taste good, or I don't know which ones to get, or all of that kind of stuff. Or maybe you just don't want to drink a protein shake, but it's really important to get protein within an hour of getting up in the morning. And you can do other types of protein, but for me personally, I'm a shake girl because shakes make it just so easy to get the protein that I need. And especially if you know that you get the right kind of shakes. So you want to make sure you get shakes that are gluten and dairy free. You don't want to use soy. I've created shakes because I had a hard time finding shakes that I thought were everything that they should be. So I created my own line of Endless Energy shakes. But I also cover in my program other types of shakes that you could buy and what you specifically need to look out for. You need, you know, a certain amount of protein, you want to make sure you're getting a certain amount of all kinds of different nutrients. And so, but the most important being protein. And I want to see at least 20 grams of protein in that shake. And you want to make sure there's no artificial sweeteners or high fructose corn syrup or any of that kind of stuff. And then I said taking supplements. So I find supplements is kind of like, and so the reason I lump these together is because I take my supplements when I drink my protein shake because I find it's easier to swallow pills when it's lubricated by my protein shake. And the supplements, I find supplements are like a shortcut to being able to do what you want to do easier and better. You know, there's a lot of people who say, you know, well, Dr. Jen, I don't even have the energy to do the program that you're telling me to do. Well, the good news is that the supplements is kind of like a shortcut to help you get your energy back, to help you get the nutrients that maybe you haven't been getting if you haven't been eating well and eating right and things like that. And the supplements also, some of them have herbs in them, which particularly have actions on your adrenal glands or can help balance out progesterone and estrogen and things like that. For an example, one of my favorites is ashwagandha. Ashwagandha is an amazing supplement that helps balance your hormones, and it also acts as what they call an adaptogen. And adaptogens are herbs that help the adrenals adapt to whether there's a high cortisol situation or a low cortisol situation and help your body balance out how much cortisol it's making. And the next step is D for dine. And that's basically how I want you to eat. And I would say that's really the crux of the formula. That's really the most important thing, is probably how you eat every day, because food is information, and how you nourish your body is probably one of the most important things to getting your energy back. So during the course of the 3-week Endless Energy program, I tell people how I want them to eat, but to sum it up, I recommend that you eat protein, like I said, about 20 grams within an hour of waking up, and then every 3 to 4 hours to get some protein and also a good amount of fiber and some healthy fats. And I go into a lot of detail in my program as to what all of those should look like. But it's really important to balance your blood sugar, like I said before. You don't want to be on a blood sugar roller coaster, which means your sugar is going up and then it's going down and then it's going up and then it's going down. And if you're eating, like, let's say your typical breakfast food of like a frappuccino and a muffin, your blood sugar is spiking like crazy. And then there's no protein behind that, very little fiber, very few good fats, nothing to stabilize your blood sugar to kind of catch it on its way down rather than it coming crashing to the ground. So you wind up on this roller coaster. And so it's really important to try to balance your blood sugar as much as you possibly can throughout the day. And then the ditch step is ditching sugar. And ditching sugar, I find, is probably one of the most important things that I've found helps people get their energy back. And I know you're saying, oh my God, how would I give up sugar? And believe me, I know how that feels, because I am a sugar craver. Both of my parents actually have diabetes, so I have terrible genetics for this. I love sugar and could crave it all day long. And some of the things that I've had to do is, you know, get rid of sugar, get rid of artificial sweeteners. So when I say sugar, I don't only mean sugar, I mean artificial sweeteners too. Like, I was addicted to those stupid little Jell-O pudding cups with Splenda because I figured, well, they're 60 calories, how bad could they be? But, oh my gosh, the sugar in there, like a Splenda or a NutraSweet, people don't realize it's 200 to 400 times sweeter than sugar. So it's keeping your sugar cravings going. So I've found, you know, different substitutes. One of the ones that I love is Lohan Guo. I actually introduced that to Dr. Oz and he loved it. And Lohan Guo comes from, it comes from a fruit. It's a sweetener, but it doesn't raise your blood sugar. So it doesn't actually increase your risk of diabetes. It doesn't get you on the blood sugar roller coaster. So definitely check out Lohan Guo if you're a sugar craver like me and you need something to help get you off slowly. But that's what I do in my program. I teach people all the tricks and tips that I had to learn so that I could do this. And I don't want it to take so long for people. You know, for me, this took years and years and years to figure this all out. The next D is diminish, which is alcohol and caffeine. So yes, I'm not telling you you have to quit completely. Personally, I love red wine and I do not want to give it up. I'm not a big coffee drinker. So, and then people get all confused, like, what are you talking about? Coffee's good for me, Dr. Jen. Coffee's bad for me. What is coffee good? Is coffee bad? It's very confusing. So I go over a lot of the coffee information. Basically, if your energy is perfect, if you're burning steady, and you know what? I don't know anybody who is really, like, I say that I'm the Energizer Bunny and the powerhouse, but believe me, I have my days. I am certainly not saying that every day of mine is perfect. And I know when I get out of balance or do some things I shouldn't do, I wind up getting into that burning up phase. And then I feel like I can't relax. I can't sleep well. I feel anxious. And, you know, that's sort of the beginning of where it all starts and can go downhill pretty quickly if I don't get myself back on track, because I'm not perfect every day and I'm not looking for people to be perfect every day. And that's a good segue to the last step, the final D, which is drop gluten and dairy. So that's the one I think that freaks a lot of people out the most, probably besides ditching sugar. So you know what? I didn't want to drop gluten and dairy from my diet either, and I only did it about 2.5 years ago. I still had some energy. I was having a little sluggishness, and particularly I was having about 8 pounds or so that I just couldn't budge. And I know some people might say 8 pounds looks like nothing, you know, but I'm only, like I said, like 5'1", and 8 pounds for me is a pant size or a dress size. And I know some ladies at least will know what I'm saying, that is completely irritating, especially when you feel like you're doing everything you possibly can. And I really did. I was eating salads and chicken and, you know, I was doing everything I could be doing. And I'm telling you, it did not come off until I got off of gluten and dairy. And you wouldn't imagine, even believe the other things that got better too, you know, including my energy. And I realized that it's a big, big step for getting your energy back is getting off gluten and dairy. The good news is I figured out ways to make it easier and ways so that you don't have to totally miss out on all the foods that you love and crave, like pancakes and pasta and all kinds of things and cheese. And for me, I told you about those Jell-O pudding cups. I was addicted to pudding. I wanted to have pudding. And how could you have pudding that's not dairy? So I figured out ways. And even whipped cream was my other love that I used to put on those stupid Jell-O pudding cups. there are ways to do all this stuff without dairy, without gluten, so that you can be more energetic and be able to lose weight and feel better, feel healthier, all of those things that are so important to women. Because I think so many of us have gotten stuck feeling like, is this all there is? Like, am I really just going to feel this way forever and ever, pushing myself through every day, feeling like I'm just living at 50% capacity? And, you know, I just really, if you remember nothing else from us talking today, remember that there is hope and you can feel better. And that you just need the right information and keep listening to Bridget because she's giving it to you.
Yeah, these are great tips. I feel like I'm getting the message just like you got to give steady energy to your body and then you will get it back.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's work involved. It's not going to happen completely for free or completely without any extra effort whatsoever. But you know, I think I've figured out some shortcuts to make it easier at least.
Yeah, like you said, certain things sound so daunting, but there are easy replacements. And yeah, I buy coconut cream and whip it. That's one of my solutions.
Yes, me too. With my Lohan Glow. That's my whipped cream. Love that coconut cream.
Yeah. So I love you. Yeah, you've got materials to teach people how to give your body that steady energy, those correct meals with fat and fiber and protein, and how to figure it out. So super helpful. Let's talk a bit more about that. Do you have anything else you want to share before I share some links about you?
No, I think that's it. Like I said, I just want women to know that you can feel better than you do now, and it doesn't have to be a hugely daunting process. You can take these steps. You can make these steps. And you know what? Like I said, I'm no perfect woman, and you know, I of course have my bad days, but you know, as long as you do the things that I'm asking you to do most days, you're going to feel so much better, and you're going to be able to get back on track so much quicker when you do get off track.
Yeah, perfect. That 80-20 rule, you don't have to be 100% perfect all the time, but if 80% of your efforts are healthy, you're going to feel good for that. So your
Absolutely.
Assistant helped me with a lovely link. It's really easy. It's jenlandamd.com/Bridget, and that will take you to a page called Endless Energy, and there's a nice video for you there, and there's a fun quiz you can take. I took the quiz earlier today to see where you're at in that food, which you call it burned up, burned out, burning low. Is that it?
That's close, burning up, burning
okay.
low, and burning out.
Okay. So it's a quiz that kind of helps you see where you're at that spectrum. As she mentioned, there's different approaches depending where you're at. So you can get some of these tools from Dr. Jen, again, at jenlandamd.com/Bridget. And we'll have the link on the show notes, too, so don't crash your car trying to type it in. Just go back to the show notes, and we'll have it for you there. Dr. Jen, we really appreciate your Energizer Bunny energy here on the show. Yeah, I want
well,
to
thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I wanted to share to everyone that I met Jen just last month at an event, and she's so fun. And she said at lunch, you know, I think really what I really want is for women to, just experience joy, is what you said to me. Is that right?
That is right. That's absolutely
yeah.
right. I think, I mean, if you have if you feel good in your body, you feel like you're at a healthy weight, you feel more energized, your moods are good, you're going to experience more joy. And if women experience more joy, you know what, there's just going to be more joy in the world, because we women, we're sort of we're in charge of like the emotional tone for our family. At least I find that it's kind of that way for me. It's sort of like when people say, if mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Totally.
And if mama's happy, everybody's happy. So, yeah, it really is my goal to increase really the joy for women and the joy in the world.
Yeah, right on. And I think those of us who are passionate about women's health just recognize that. You know, we recognize the potential of women, and we want to help women reach their potential, whether it's their potential joy or the potential in their career or the potential of their dress size, whatever you want. Health is the foundation. So I hope you guys can check out some of these tools that Dr. Jen shared. She's a total Energizer Bunny who's a lot of fun. So she's, I'm sure, fun to learn from the course. All righty, lady. Any closing thoughts before we say goodbye here?
I just want women to continue listening to you so that they can rock their lives and live their best lives ever.
Yeah, thank you for that segue. And I'll say you can subscribe on iTunes or on your Android device. You can always rate us on iTunes. You look up our podcast and you can rate us. You can give comments and suggestions. And you can check me out at BridgetDanner.com. You can go right on there and say, hey, I'd like a show about this. We do listen, and we want your feedback. So we appreciate you listening, and come back next week. Bye, everyone. Take care.